Good morning, Northern California.
Good morning.
Good morning, James.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning.
Becoming regular.
Yeah.
This is becoming like a regular.
He even brought an electronic item, so it's official.
Right.
No, this way, I think he's scanning the airport.
Watching it.
Yeah, from here.
Here, yeah.
Good morning. This is the California Adventure District Radio Show. My name is Nigel Skeet. I have my co-pilot, James Mazzotta from Enjoy. And not the co-pilot. He's
what would you be called? If that's the what's the other person that's in a cockpit?
Wingman.
No, there's
navigator.
Navigator. Our navigator. Mr.
You
Jim,
look like a navigator.
Jim Wadley. I think he's one of the hardest working people in our area. He has
this
some good
true.
News to share with us.
True. I would concur wholeheartedly.
Right. Too kind.
So we hope everybody's doing good. For those who are listening for the first time, California Adventure District is a long-term permanent identity project for Northern California, the top 12 counties, Northern California.
A finely stitched quilt of
yes, it
all
is.
The major players to bring the lucrative monies that pour into California, but don't seem to find their way all the way up to the top where we are.
That's right. You know, it's funny. I actually had a conversation yesterday with a journalist from New York Times.
Oh, nice.
Right. Yeah.
And
he called me from Boston, and he said the whole area between Sacramento and Redding looks pretty rural. And then he said, what happens all of a sudden? He said, all of a sudden there's mountains and lakes and forests. And I said, that's the point.
Yeah.
You know, so we had a little conversation about our area.
And you know what Yvonne and I have coined it is the crown of California.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, so if you look at a crown, it has the peaks and the, you know.
Right.
And we sit at the top and we really reign over the rest of the state realistically in beauty and natural resource and common sense and all those things.
I think Redding's nickname used to be the Jewel of Northern California or something like that.
Possibly, yeah. I know it also used to be also called the something circle. It was like
Golden Circle.
Golden Circle, yeah, something like that, too. So there you go, Golden Circle, right? That's the beginning of a crown.
There you go.
Put a jewel in it, and now you have a crown.
There you go.
Very nice.
Well, for now, I'm going to stick with California Adventure District.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Oh, I guess so.
Yeah, for now.
I just thought I reinvented.
You got the gold colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. They all align.
So I must admit, I've never actually been to Denver, but thanks
city
to
of?
City of Denver.
Okay.
I think I've flown over it.
Yeah.
But thanks to this young man here.
He said young. That's funny.
Well, you're a baby compared to us.
Yeah. Yeah. starting next year, probably make a visit or two.
Yeah, and, so we got some exciting news yesterday. I was checking email, and I got an email from one of Congressman LaMalfa's district representatives, Brenda Haynes, and I was excited to open that. And on the news there, it said that we're going to be awarded a grant for $750,000, and what this is back in March we applied for a small community air service development grant, and ultimately what that's going to provide is about $1 million of a revenue guarantee for United Airlines to fly to Denver International. And, you know, I was saying to Nigel this morning, I was like, if I had one airport wish, it would be Denver. Long term, Denver would just be the greatest thing.
Wasn't that my wish too?
Yeah, I think actually I know a lot of people were looking for an eastbound flight.
That's exactly my
Denver
point
is just a huge airport. It's growing. United has a lot more gates there. They're acquiring more 70-seater aircraft, which is our market. So that it would save people time, and you would connect almost. You know, if you were to combine the connections of SFO and LAX together, it would be about Denver.
Wow.
I mean, it really took both of those because LA is about 65 connections and San Francisco is 115. This is like before COVID. I haven't looked at what's changed since, but Denver was 171.
Mm.
And so it's
so
just
it's a good hub.
Talk about worldwide type of stuff. I mean, people worldwide trying to come here can get through Denver a lot easier.
Well, my wish was Amsterdam, but for now I'll take Denver.
But you can still go to Amsterdam through Denver.
Via Denver, right?
Yeah. I mean, folks are joking and saying, you know, next is Reading International, you know. But I don't know about that anytime soon. But
I mean, obviously, this is probably a really dumb question, but what quantifies an international airport, an international
flight? We could get a Toronto flight, or a Cancun. Yeah. That'd be cool.
That would deem you the ability to say international versus Cancun.
Yeah, we'd have to have some customs, and, I mean, we would need that terminal B I've been talking about. but anyway, it's exciting. There's still a lot of work to do. We got to work with United, and you know, if it plays out like I think it will, then I think money will hit the bank in the winter and or spring, and then we could start as early as the spring with this Denver flight, but most likely it'll be next summer, so summer 2022.
So how long did it take you to? How long has this process been?
Well,
been
this
ongoing?
Oh gosh, so
because we talked about it for a long time.
Yeah, and I like to remind folks I'm standing on the foundation of my predecessor. So this work has always been something that's been pursued. What I've done a little bit different lately. Last year we kind of doubled down on the amount of studies that we do, so that we can use those studies and numbers to provide them to the airport. And this year we're going to do something different as well. Because I don't like just kind of doing the same kind of thing. I want to kind of look into more and what would it take. And obviously some of these things have probably provided value to the airlines and a little bit eye-opening. But and we always knew that we were going to, you know, or we were on the short list for Denver. And it's just because the numbers are pretty good at Reading, but it's only getting better. And so that's definitely setting us apart. So, but yeah, it next year, we could have it yet another flight and, you know, with some of the growth that we're getting, I mean, it could be another Seattle flight. Look, San Diego's our second, you know, is our number two market. For whatever reason, I still don't understand that, but.
San Diego?
Yeah, San Diego's our number two market. So, you know, that could be something in, you know, in the future. And, but this is a very exciting thing. I mean, I was so excited, I was almost at tears. Because this is really big. This is really big.
I know when we spoke yesterday on the phone, it was like almost like somebody's birthday party.
it was still soaking in because it's a huge thing. And, you know, like I said, there's still a lot of work to do. We got to work with United. There's a lot of behind the scenes kind of thing. And what's the flight time going to be? I don't know. It could be in the morning. I would hope so.
But you need to avoid those giant thermals over the Rockies. Nice, cool early mornings before they heat up.
Well, with the 70-seater regional jet, I'm sure they'll get through that.
Because every time I come in or out of Denver, it's like you're first in and out. You're like, it's like you're on a roller coaster.
Is it?
Over the Rockies? Yeah. You're like, whoa.
So this is great news for Reading. It puts Reading on the map and at least have a year to marinate in it, right?
Yeah.
So there's a year of conversations going on before it even happens. So that's marketing in and of itself, right?
Yes.
And so next year, if all the flights that we have now maintain, plus this one, then we have a pretty good...
Can Mr. Doug Elamalfa find you grant money to do your Terminal B?
There's a lot of different pots of money that I could go for. And there are FAA... airport improvement plan funds that are available, but they cap it, I think, at $20 million, and I think we only used $5 million in the history of the airport, so there's some money there.
Oh, cool.
We could also use a passenger facility charge. We can do an application. We get the airlines involved and others, and we could, you know, allocate that $4.50 that you guys pay every time you have a ticket. That money, it gets pulled into, you know, a set of funds that we can use. So let's say there's a gap about $1 million or two or whatever it might be, 500,000. We could even do private public partnerships to fill that gap. Because in my opinion, I think we should be doing it right. Not just create a rectangle box where you just put people. I'd like to make it, okay, COVID pandemic type of thing resistant, where you can spread people out, you can have a food court, you know, things like that. Stuff to look at.
Great. But, so James, we need to start pooling some money.
Yeah, right.
So, we will be right back and we're going to continue. We have Mr. Matt Doyle actually walks in the building too. This is going to be fun times here.
He's lounging on the couch.
Thanks, Northern California. We will be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good morning. Did I almost miss my cue?
No.
Did you get nervous? You gave me that nervous look.
No. Not that was a happy side eye. No.
That's good.
I was in a conversation about fudge, so.
Oh, okay. You know. Well, don't mind me then. So, Jim, congratulations again on the Denver flight. That was a lot of work.
Yeah, thank you. There's still a lot of work to do.
So when we left, you were talking about
just funding sources for like
a terminal and then creating it a little bit more diverse than just a box.
I mean, we have a catch base, a primary catch base of 285,000, and I'm sure that's grown a little bit more since that we figured that out. But, when I first got here, we were like 14% retainage of that catch base. So that means a lot of people were hitting the road going to Sacramento or others.
Mm.
And, you know, we're, before Burbank and Seattle, we were catching about 18%. So there's growth right there.
Sure.
And I'm sure we're probably in the 20% now.
So when you said COVID, like, what does that look like? Because you know what? I was just out at the airport last night with my son, and we were dropping off the latest issue of Enjoy and the new City Guide, right?
Right.
You guys are in both of those. And I used the restroom real quick to do my thing and wash my hands. And when I was walking out, I opened the door, and I just out of the corner of my eye saw something on the floor, on the door.
A stepping pole.
Yeah. And so at first, then I came back in to look at it, and I thought, is this in case there's like a shooting, and you run into the bathroom, and you push this thing, and it locks the door so you're safe?
Oh, geez.
And then I realized, you can open the door with your foot, which we all try to do anyway, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, this is really cool. I really like this. And then it reminded me, COVID. So if you don't have to touch surfaces, you can just use
your... Exactly. We did things like that to enhance the terminal to make it touch-free. We didn't have the money to do a little wave your hand kind of a, you know, motion sensor thing. But
no, it was brilliant. But my first instinct was like, it's a lockdown.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of ways to fund terminal expansions. We'll call it expansion because that's really what it is. But if you're looking at the numbers, we got to do something. And so my job is to put recommendations together, find, you know, the funding for that, and put the plan together and then bring it forward. So that's what I'm busy doing. And I've got a, you know, team of consultants that help assist me with that. But, that's something I'm looking at.
You know, another one who's going to be really excited about this. We've just been joined by, I can call you a friend of mine now. You know, we've known each other quite a while here.
Yes.
Mr. Matt Doyle.
Yes.
He runs Shasta Caverns. Knows all the secret pathways.
Amongst other million things.
Yeah. I know all the Lemurian, travel paths. And yes.
You're one of the few guys here
in
town.
So you can actually go from the caves all the way to Mount Shasta through a Lemurian tunnel?
Well, maybe. I may or may not know those paths.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be a whole separate flight in and of itself.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you have a lot of hats. Like, your business card should be like a 5x7.
Yeah, pretty much. General manager of Lake Shasta Caverns since 2003, so about 18 years now. Vice president of the Shasta Cascade Wonderland Association. President of Shasta Lake Business Owners Association. Regional director for the National Caves Association. And my most recent, of course, is appointed council member for City of Shasta Lake, which is really interesting. And it's going to be a fun, a fun challenge for me. But you know, it sounds like it's all I have all these different hats. They're actually all interconnected. So when I work on one thing, I'm working on another as well. Yeah. So it's connecting them all.
You're obviously a big supporter of the Denver flight, and that will obviously probably have an impact on what you're doing.
I am so excited about this. Even with just the starting with 2020, Lake Shasta Caverns, we noticed a big shift in travel and tourism, and Los Angeles, out of all places, Los Angeles became our major feeder city. San Francisco dropped off. We didn't see as many. We are starting to see them back around Memorial Day. We started seeing the Bay Area crowd come back, but Los Angeles has become our biggest feeder city. With Burbank getting that airport, it's been phenomenal. It's also increased our numbers up at the caverns and around this whole entire region.
That's exciting.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Best part about Denver is that whole area is very, very similar to Redding, California, and this area. So we're going to see a lot of transition, and the best part is that hub to the east, it's opening up another door for other markets. So not only do we have Los Angeles now, we've already got Bay Area. They are starting to come back. But what are going to be the next hubs? Denver we have coming in. So what? How many cities are going to start feeding this area?
Seattle. Seattle, too.
So how are the numbers for Seattle?
Very good. They're actually very happy with those flights. So they're, I mean, I've seen 100% full.
I was there last night when they dropped him off. It seemed pretty.
You were in Seattle? Yeah.
No, I was at the airport. Oh, okay. when the Seattle flight
but
came in.
The load factors are really high, and that's really good. That's kind of why we're already talking about a second flight.
The plane actually came in early, and the complaint that I heard was, my ride's not here yet to pick me up.
Oh, the travel.
And I said, fine, have a seat. It's air conditioned in here, and
here's a magazine.
Here's a magazine.
Thanks for being there for that.
Timing is everything.
Yeah.
So that brings up another point, obviously, with these increased flights, and that's the infrastructure capacity at the airport, like the car rentals and all that. How are they doing?
Car rentals, you can't get a car.
You can't.
You just can't. I'm serious. It's a good problem to have, and you know, we're actually flying a request for proposals for car rentals right now. Because, you know, they kind of termed out. And so, I know that there's a lot of interest there, and that's good. And we're even thinking, is our current infrastructure for the car parking even enough? So if you look at the terminal parking lot that in the Woodrum Circle, it's pretty full, and we have more flights coming.
I know.
So I'm a little concerned about that. I had some ideas on what to do there, and,
big field just, like
we can fill it
areas,
in a little bit. We can maximize it better, and I have some other ideas for some other close-by parking. But this is starting to get into that master plan stuff. All these things start touching, and if I'm going to be touching a terminal, I mean, I've been having dialogue with the FAA on terminals right now. Mm-hmm. And so the president's even trying to invest in terminals infrastructure for airports. And so that's a pendulum I want to jump on, because we have the numbers to show that we need that. But when we start doing that, we have to look at other layouts at the airport, and you know, if they're non-standard, we got to make them standard. And so it kind of touches other things, and it could delay. But I'm going to do what we can to address it quickly. So if we end up having trailers or something on the, you know, to kind of just put folks after they get screened. I've said it before, I don't mind doing that so long as there's a rendering on the wall saying this is what we're going to build for you. So we're trying to do this right for the community, and at some point we're going to have a lot of input and feedback needed from the community. So I hope to get there soon. It's quite the process, but I've got a lot of work in planning and strategies to get there.
So if you're an Uber driver in Redding, you may want to head over to the airport every day.
We need more of them.
do you guys have an Uber pickup spot that I defined?
It's not defined, but I can tell you when we had the LA flight and it would come in late, it was a great flight because you could go there and come back same day. People would be waiting at the curb, almost fighting over Uber and taxis because mm-hmm. there's not enough. Mm-hmm. And so now got late flights again.
That seems to be the trend in the world right now. And I don't know, you know, specifically pandemic related, all those types of things. But like you said, car rentals, availability. Mm-hmm. We do movies in the park, and unfortunately my son was driving there to set up and was hit by a car and totaled our trailer with all of our equipment. And
oh no.
we needed to get a rental car, which we couldn't, and I was trying to get a tow truck to pull the trailer up and get it off the, you know, highway and move it for us. And, you know, all of that, I saw like four of them that are all 24 hours. Not a single one of them could help us.
You almost need like a U-Haul or a Home Depot.
Yeah, but I mean, and then, you know, I heard the other day, too, they're having really big fuel shortages at some of the airports and...
Yeah,
you know,
we're
like
doing
transporting is the big
we're
problem.
Doing okay. I mean, yeah. We have air service, we have fire attack aircraft. The Reading Jet Center does a fantastic job. He has a really good pulse on those issues, and so there is a driver shortage. It's a real issue, mm-hmm. And we actually have Benton Airport as well, and Benton and the Jet Center. They're trying to work together to split loads,
right.
and so makes there's sense. that is a real issue that you're talking about.
So we talk about capacity. So Shasta Caverns, I mean, is there? I mean, there has to be some kind of capacity as to how many people you can ferry back and forth on the boat. But how are we doing with?
There's a boat and a bus ride.
Defying bus ride.
This has got to be the coolest thing for kids. I have five kids.
They would love it.
We need to get you out there.
We take everybody there that comes and visits, and they find it absolutely fascinating.
Oh,
if you go over there with five and come back with four, then you know
you're doing good.
Well, let's talk about it. Yeah.
So just about like the concern with the parking lot, we're kind of at that capacity now. We need to expand.
Good problems.
A lot of the marinas on the lake, they're the same problem. We have such a demand now that we're in some cases are turning people away, and we are absolutely horrified to do that, but at the same time,
create psychological demand.
That is true. Then, of course, we'll give them discounts and we'll sweeten the deal to make sure they come back. But they're staying in the area and they are coming back. And this is the most amazing thing. So we've gone through years of low lake level years.
I was going to say you could walk almost across now, right?
Yeah, we're getting there. We're not quite as low as we were in 2015, but we are going to get, supposedly we are supposed to get down to the second lowest, on record, 193 feet by November 1st. So
is that the 77?
Yeah, so, 77 was 238 feet.
See, I was here for that. I remember as a child getting in my dad's Land Cruiser and driving down the sides to the bottom of the lake, mm-hmm. and literally driving to try to find water anywhere. It was frightening. And then they told us it was going to be 50 years before the... Oh, not 50 years, 25 years before the lake would fill up. And the very next year, we had, I guess, an El Nino or something. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
and it was full.
Within 6 months, it's going over the dam. It happened in 77. I believe it happened in 2009. It actually happened in 2016-17, that winter. Uh-huh. It got so full, they had to drop 40 feet within a couple weeks. And if you've ever seen the lake move that fast, that is insane.
Yeah.
But but that's the problem, is we actually have so much of a demand that... And one of the biggest contributors to this is the lack of employees. Everybody that's out there working right now is working overtime. They're exhausted. They're tired. Mm-hmm. But this is the very interesting thing. Once again, we have fires. We have low lake level year. We have high gas prices. These are all killers for travel and tourism. And usually this tanks this entire area whenever we see this. It's not. As a matter of fact, we're seeing numbers that are far increased. So if this were a full lake level year, we didn't have any fires in the air, I guarantee you the numbers would actually be double from what we're seeing right now. But comparison, thank God it's finally July. I can look back all the way through July of 2020. So now I have a full 12-month look back. Our record year ever was back in 2018 with 70,000 people. Our 12-month look back right now, we're 71,000 and growing.
Ooh.
So it's we've already beat our best year. June, finally got a chance, middle of July, to look at our June numbers. 30% over our best June ever. I mean, it's insane, the numbers that we're seeing. And now that's my concern right now is making sure, because now we're capped out as far as capacity on the lake.
Going to need appointments.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so now how do we build that infrastructure to retain that?
Mobile app.
So this is all actually good news.
Yeah.
For our area. So we're going to continue this. This is the first half hour, California Adventure District Radio Show. If Bigfoot calls in at 605-4567, he does get precedent. Of everybody.
We try to make that clear because you never know, right?
Well,
things happen.
Things happen.
Yeah,
things
exactly.
happen.
So thanks, Northern California. We will be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good morning, California. This is the California Adventure District Radio Show. We have Mr. Jim Wadley, Mr. Matt Doyle, and my co-pilot, James Mazzotta. Actually, you guys are all... I'd sit in a cockpit with you guys.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. It would be a fun flight.
I know, right?
I'd say we're going the right direction.
Yeah, definitely.
Good.
One thing that I keep wanting to point out is when we talk and we have the show and we do all these things, we're all regular citizens here that... are hardworking, right? I don't want to say that put us down anyway, but nothing special in the sense that we're just all hardworking individuals within a community that have decided to go above and beyond what we do on a daily basis.
I think we all like to serve too.
Yeah, well, there's got to be
serving is key, but also just
the fine art of service.
Mm-hmm. I believe my good friend, Mr. Ken Hammack, is on the phone, right? From Arcata.
Heard it ring.
Hi, Nigel.
How are you doing, Mr. Ken?
Well, I'm not Bigfoot, but I can tell you something that not a lot of people know.
Believe me, I know. So I got to tell you.
Bigfoot has a humbled accent.
Yes, he does. And I think he actually has a humbled address, actually, but mail isn't delivered there. So I got to say, whenever I go out to Arcata, I stay at my friend Ken's place, and they've just opened up a B&B, and it's called Patsy's Place, and it's more for like executives or business travelers who may. Well, I'm going to let you explain that in a minute, Ken.
Thanks.
But every time I'm out there, it's the hospitality in Humboldt is amazing. And I must admit, I think I've said this before, when I first drew the California Adventure District county lines, I didn't actually know anybody in any of these counties, and I was being very presumptive of let's just lump everybody in together. And so I was very pleasantly surprised when I actually went to Humboldt and met fine people there, including Ken Hammack. So why don't you give a quick intro into who you are and what's going on in Arcata right now.
Well, I've got one of those big business cards, too.
Yes,
I'm the chair of the Arcata Chamber of Commerce. I'm also head of the marketing committee for the Humboldt County Visitors Bureau, which is the DMO for doing the marketing of tourism in the county and doing some amazing work. And thank you for the plug on Patsy's Place in McKinleyville. Yeah, we're proud of it. I think maybe the best way to describe it is we tried to create a nexus. So... we've got people coming through town. We've got folks, good friends from L.A. They're here right now enjoying Humboldt. It's going to get up to 60 degrees today. So they brought their coats.
Yes.
And so I don't want to go into
thank
that
you. Thank you.
Appreciate that one.
Thank you. That was great.
Ouch.
But as far as the Nexus concept goes, I'm an older person, and I've been around the world and done a lot of business. A lot of the CEOs and friends from other areas are asking questions about Humboldt. They see the postings that we do here. They're going, I'd like to get that out, not just for the family and the rivers and the ocean and have a good time, but also maybe relocate. So I think there's a right now post as we're getting out of COVID and going into whatever next phase we're going into, people are remembering what fresh air is and a little open space. And I guess I say to Nigel all the time, I can see the future from here.
That's right.
I haven't been able to in the Bay Area where I came from right before Humboldt. And I think I would love that the other people to see that opportunity to just get away from where they're at and re-envision where they could be.
So I must admit here, too, so Ken is one of those people that I've had a conversation with about strengthening the relationship between Shasta and Humboldt. And one of the things we talk about, just like I did with Jim, is it'd be great to have that flight from Reading to Arcata and Arcata to Reading again at some point. And Ken is actually one of those people that we talk about. So that'd be kind of a fun thing to work on for the next year or so.
That'd be a fun project.
It would be huge. And I guess since we're on the radio, I'll tell the world. When I first met Nigel, it was at the Arcata Chamber Visitor Center. And do you remember my first words to you, Nigel?
Yes.
I said, basically, you put out the map, and I said, I hate you.
Yes, you did. You actually used those words, I hate you. And I was like, uh-oh.
I hate you. And because I'm kind of a local futurist here and trying to look over two or three hills from where we are right now. And Nigel lays out this map with a new vision incorporating the band north of Sacramento and San Francisco as an opportunity to be able to re-envision our region differently and together. And I never saw it before. I was more coastal focused. So, this conversation with Reading and Shasta and all the counties in between, I think it's going to get really robust, even driven faster, to use a metaphor, if we drove by air. And so if that connection with our airport, that could extend the stays of some of the people that want to come up here and see this 12-county beautiful region we live in.
That's right. And, I'm at the point now with 299 when I drive it. I don't even remember it when I get to my destination. So that's not a good thing, right? But
unless you're driving a Tesla, it's doing it for you.
lots of curvy roads there. So Jim, what are your gut instincts about a flight to Arcata? I mean,
my wheels are already turning, and I know that the airlines have done this kind of stuff in the past. They call it something, and I forget what it is. They don't usually do that, and I want to find out more about why. And that's kind of the puzzle that I'm always trying to solve is, why. Yep. So let me look into that.
So, Matt, so you track all the visitors of Shasta Caverns.
Yes.
This is actually a good stat, Ken. I don't know what he's going to say, but do you get a lot of visitors from the coast, from Humboldt and Dilmore?
We do, but like I said, primarily it was all Bay Area, and it kind of went up to Dilmore. But really, it's all Los Angeles now. We are seeing the Bay Area coming back a little bit, but not as robust as Los Angeles, at least not yet.
And Humboldt?
Humboldt, we do get a little bit, but because of that ridge right there, for some reason, people think of that as a giant wall. It's very similar to the mountain range going into Bridge Bay. Shasta Lake seems separate than Reading. It's right. 10 minutes up the road. So I think that's kind of a mental block right there. 299 is a little bit of a rough road for I've driven that quite a few times too, with in-laws being on the coast. So we're used
sickness.
To it. But that flight would make it so much easier for people hopping across from the coast getting here. It definitely would.
It's like a 30-minute flight.
But then again, travel has changed. So people are doing these longer loops of, they'll hit the Del Norte, and then they'll head up Crescent City, hit Grants Pass, coming back down Interstate 5. So people are doing figure eights in the area.
Yeah.
But the thing is, right now, Reading's the hub of all of it. You land here, you can go to Reno, you can go north to Klamath, to Crater Lake, you could head south down to Sacramento. And now people are coming just to this area for the outdoor recreation. That's bar none the biggest draw for not only our region, but a lot of rural areas across the United States. We see caves, very similar areas to ours, rural areas, might be set out about 15, 20 miles from their biggest city, which might be like Reading, 100,000 people, but they're exploding with numbers right now. And the biggest thing is we're the only area truly on the West Coast that can handle it, and we're seeing these massive explosions. People aren't going to Yosemite anymore because there's lines everywhere.
So, and the other thing, Ken, is that with the redesignation of HSU to becoming a polytechnic, which we're going to see a huge influx of students into Humboldt, having something for them to do and somewhere for them to go when they're not on campus would be another reason to have a flight.
Oh, definitely.
And every time we talk to the coast, they're always like, oh, it's going to be 62 degrees in here. And we go, ugh. But realistically, the caves are our coast. It's always 62 degrees in the caves. Whatever time of year it is, you just run into the hole and it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Can you hang out all day?
I that's where I would be.
So what do you think, Ken?
I think this all sounds awesome. And I would just add the numbers on the Polytechnic are starting to be assumed. We were about 8,000 at our peak at the Humboldt State University campus pre-COVID and at our peak, and then now 5,500. Those numbers, because of overflow from the other two Polytechnic campuses, Pomona and Cal Poly, we're going to get people that applied, but if they didn't get in, they automatically get diverted, I think, to Humboldt Polytechnic or whatever we're going to call it. Those numbers now are going to go up to 10, 11, 15. I've heard as high as 20,000, which is now double the campus, more than double the campus size of what we were before. Housing is going to be an issue, but I'm just bringing it up because of the conversation across this 12-county band we're discussing. Those students are going to come from non-traditional areas, places that maybe even the East Coast and the Midwest, where they wanted to go to a polytechnic in California. And I think that's going to be a really interesting new demographic for us to a new playground that we can develop for these folks that are coming that really have very little knowledge about the North Country.
I can tell you that the airlines will be very interested in that kind of data.
Yeah.
That's how you grow.
Yeah. Well, we had Greg Foster on last week from Humboldt. He gave us he's a hard worker on the airline, so it'd be kind of fun to get this little round table going and seeing what we can do to get a, well, we call it a puddle jumper, but in this case it would be a mountain jumper, a ridge jumper,
adventure jumper.
We could have it moderated by Bigfoot.
There you go.
Hey, there you go. Now you're getting seeing it.
Have people freak out when Bigfoot's sitting in the pilot's chair. that's cool. Well, Ken, just on the air, I just want to thank you every time for your amazing hospitality. I hope you and Sherry and Sarah are doing great.
Yeah.
And
we're going to the farmer's market now.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, in the nice cool
in 60
weather.
Degree weather, right.
Nice.
Right. Well, thank you for that.
all the best, you guys. And Nigel, talk to you.
Thanks, Ken. Talk to you later.
James, take care.
Thank you, sir.
All the best, you guys.
Thank you.
Bye. So, you know, I didn't know.
I wonder if you can get fresh oysters at the farmer's market.
You can.
Oh, yeah. You can. So good.
Last time I was over last week, actually at Patsy's place with Ken, met this guy named Nick who owns a restaurant in Eureka called Oberon Grill. Mm. And it was he does all the traditional stuff, but it was all oysters, and it was amazing.
Mm.
Amazing. So next time you are over on the coast.
We're actually considering going in the next couple of weeks.
Well, we'll give you a list of things to do.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
Itinerary.
And things and people to meet.
Yeah, right.
Well, you got to let me know. I'm going over a couple times in, next month.
So, okay. Conduct a little
let
business.
Me know. There you go. Mm-hmm. Side trips. I can write it off.
Write it off. I was going to say, yeah.
There you go. That's great. All right. So, thank you for this segment again. Wow, this hour's going by quick.
Yeah.
It's almost like a flight, right?
Yeah.
So, we will be right back. Thank you.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Almost has it.
We're still playing the game of name that tune.
Matt, you were listening. You were like,
it's on the tip of my tongue, and I can't.
Right?
I can't think of it. But thank you. That's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the day now.
But you think you knew it?
It's on the tip of my tongue.
If you guess it, you get a California Adventure District baseball cap.
Oh, okay.
You notice?
I'm going to keep working on
you
this.
You notice
one.
None of us are wearing a hat. So.
Very true.
So. Our good friend Tony Giovanello, from formerly from the Shasta EDC.
Hey, Tony.
Was listening to our show.
He's out there.
Tony. Hey, Tony.
Tony's awesome. Tony
good
is
good
awesome.
Morning, Tony.
Tony, I got to say this. Tony has a lot of credit needs to be given to Tony for his work in developing these airlines.
Yes.
I get to see what Tony does in front of the airlines, and it's so cool.
But
so.
Tony's been a...
The Dog and Pony Tony Show.
Tony's great. What he does is magical. So
well, I definitely consider Tony a good friend, and he's been a huge supporter, team player with the whole CAD concept. We talk very often, and he's been amazing. So he just said that it's a tag route.
Yep.
Oh, tag
right?
route.
It is.
That's right.
Yep. So we're gonna look into that. I got some homework to do.
That's right.
I won't be able to shut it off either. That's just how I work.
I know.
So
you're welcome.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys.
So we have James, Jim, and Matt here with us. Reading airport manager, the man with the 5x7 business card.
Billboard.
Shasta Cavern.
Yeah, billboard, yeah.
You know, but James, you're kind of the same way, man. You have like an 8x10 business card.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's got that huge
we have all of it.
Theaters.
All of it.
Yeah. But speaking of increased numbers, you know me. I'm a big fan of the whole Bigfoot thing. I think it's great. And I actually spoke to a journalist yesterday from the East Coast, and he's coming over September 4th. I'm very happy to announce that Bigfoot Days is back. I don't even know what that is, but in Willow Creek every year, I think it's Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
Where it is September 4th.
September 4th, yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be...
Saturday, yep.
I went out there...
And thank you for emailing me. I did book my room.
You did?
Good.
And they actually had one left.
They had a couple left, yeah. That's Bigfoot Hotel, yeah. Okay. I actually got the one with the kitchen because I plan on bringing the family, so...
Go to Costco.
Yeah.
So, I went out there on 2018, and Bigfoot was one of those things I had no idea what to expect. I'm like, people said, yeah, you got to go to Bigfoot Days in Willow Creek. I'm like, okay, fine. And went over there, and it was massive. I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. Like there's a lot of people here. And you go to the parade, and but then the festival.
Yeah, there's the parade.
The festival is great.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people. A lot of families, and it's all, you know, fun stuff.
There's food, music.
Yeah, they have a parade, ice cream social, festival, lots of activities.
Vendors.
Yeah, vendors. So California Adventure District is getting a booth.
Yes.
So we'll bring our stuff.
I'm going to have Bigfoot poop there for you to buy.
James, one of the things you could do, you could enter the Bigfoot call contest.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Bigfoot foot contest, because I do have a size 15 and a half shoe. So.
Yeah, that's still small.
Wow.
Still small.
Impressive.
Yeah. So there is actually a Bigfoot call contest. Call like Bigfoots.
Mm-hmm. My assistant like general manager will love that. He's got his own Bigfoot call.
So instead of like in the Midwest where you do a pig call, this is a Bigfoot call.
You know, there. Again, if it was just one or two people saying they seen one or something, then they wouldn't take it seriously. But when you look at our region seriously as a map, and you plot all the quote unquote Bigfoot experiences according to BFRO.net, yep, a couple of others, there's hundreds. And so,
well, I might be able to compete in the Bigfoot smell contest.
We won't say anything about that. So, but seriously, if you're in the
last night after you sent me that email, I actually went to the Enjoy magazine calendar, yep, and I went ahead and posted all that for
good,
so that it can continue to promote it over here as well.
Yeah. So if you're looking for something fun to do with the family, right, the family thing, not only can you go to Shasta Caverns, that was a very, very subtle plug.
Nice. Thank you.
And starting next year, you can go to Denver.
Yes.
Willow Creek's not far.
But you if you want to do something before then, yeah. So there's actually a few cool things going on for the family. I think, July 30th, 31st, and August 8th, out in Arcata is actually the Flint Creek Circus. They actually have a circus under the Big Top. All human circus.
An all human circus. Yeah. We've had to
talking about my house again.
We've had to mix the animals.
All you gotta do is just walk out in the streets right now.
I've got a circus every day at home.
Yeah. Same here. But
I love circuses.
Well, but you know, I love Reading. Obviously, I love Reading. I love Shasta County. The whole thing's great. But once in a while, I look for a good reason to go to escape the 110.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and that's definitely a way to cool off in 58 degrees, 95% humidity. Oh, it's beautiful. And about several years ago, also with the larger demand that we're seeing, we opened up our self-paced tours, so we're running those almost every single weekend now, and it's just to help meet the demand. Nice part about that is once you get up into the cave, it's up to you how you pace the timing inside the cave.
So you're just free to let you go yourself?
Yes. Well, not quite.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah, well, number one, I mean, it's all federally protected, so we do have laws in place, but all of our guides are inside there, so you get as much information, if not more, because now
and
people are staying in there longer. And enjoying it, so and it's cooler.
And I didn't mean that dangerous in the sense that you could get hurt, which, you know, I'm sure you could if you were stupid, but the protection of touching, right?
Exactly.
Because when you touch these things, that kills them.
Oh, yeah, and everything in there is beautiful, so of course there's that nature there to
want to touch.
So, we do have the security in there kind of roaming the cave to make sure that it is protected, so it's not nilly-willy, but that's the best part, is they're not rushed through the cave. They're not in a single group. And that worked out perfectly with social distancing and during a lot of the COVID restrictions. It was how we were able to keep running.
Yeah.
Good job.
So, and that's another thing with businesses in the area that I've noticed is little tweaks that they had to do with COVID. They found out a different way to make and be more efficient and make a little bit of extra revenue off that. And you're seeing a lot of little changes, to better all the businesses who actually weathered this whole.
I should get a job there because that's my perfect environment.
Cold, cool, and no sun.
Did you say you need some help?
And no sun.
Well, we need shuttle drivers right now. So,
are you guys still looking for people to work?
Right now, we are looking for some more shuttle drivers because of the low lake level. This is how busy we are. We have 4 buses running on our main cavern side, and now 2 buses running on our regular site where we usually have people walk down to the boat. We're actually having to have 2 buses to bring people back up.
So that ride up to the cave, do you have to call on a walkie-talkie and let the other bus know that you're coming down? There's not a rough room for 2 except for some corners.
Our communications are excellent. So we use 2-way radios. Our boat is our dispatch. And it's amazing the dance that we do with 6 buses on these one-lane roads.
Jim, literally, you get to a point where you're up at this. It's like a sheer cliff off to your, if you're going up.
You know, your son would love to work there.
The one who likes to drive.
Oh, yeah. There you go. He's only 14, but he acts like he's
Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and you, they say, oh, look, you see this? This is where the last major rock slide was. And you look above you, and there's like a hole in the side, and there's a landslide below you. And I just think, oh, Jesus, please just keep rolling. Get past
Don't
this point.
Well, there's actually something That's very, cool. very interesting behind that. We have a very young staff. What we're really looking for and really focusing on right now is what's August going to look like. Last August was completely different because everybody was working from home, distance learning, so everybody was still free to travel. Where we saw that major drop off in August, we didn't see that last year. This year, I've been talking to the marinas. It looks like it's a little dip in reservations, but just a little dip. So I think still a lot of people are working from home. I think we're going to see that soft entry in the fall, which means a huge, huge shoulder season, and it's going to be interesting. It's helped dictating.
One of the things we want to do with CAD from a business standpoint, because of the tourism numbers. So the you know, the conversation I have with the various counties is 1.7%. Like, is that acceptable to you?
Yeah.
Right.
No.
So one of the, right. So one of the conversations that I want to have is that we don't actually have a shoulder season. Is that we're always open.
Exactly.
Right. And I think once it may take a little while to get out of that mindset, but. It's that whole approach, you know, I know it sounds blasphemous, but the whole Disney theme park approach where there is no shoulder season. Right? So, for California Adventure District, I think it's perfectly positioned within our 12 counties. We have such a varied topography and climate and microclimates all over the place that we don't really actually have to have a shoulder season. Right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, you know, some would say, why would somebody want to come to the cold and wet and rainy in the wintertime? Well, one of the beauties for CAD is, you know, there are lots of people in Australia who would love to escape.
Oh, yeah.
They're 110.
They're chasing that endless winter.
And come over here, right?
And snow and skiing and snowshoeing and cross-country skiing. And
yep. Even on the lake, we get our anglers. We have several national fishing tournaments throughout the wintertime. So we have that. All the snow sports, you could still do a lot of hiking. We're right below the snow line. So within half hour, you could be below the snow line and then all of a sudden back up right in the foothills of Shasta. Yeah. I mean, it's
so are the caverns always open?
Oh, yeah, we're always open. The only time we close are when we have extremely high winds, and it's amazing. I have actually seen squaws on that arm, or squalls on that arm, and snow or ice. Definitely don't want to bring those buses up in snow and ice. So inclement weather, other than that, Thanksgiving and Christmas, those are the only days we're closed. And like you said, we've been tracking it for about 5 years, steadily growing and growing.
You should do a special promo where you do like Christmas dinner in the cathedral room.
We've toyed with a lot of ideas. And we have a lot of big plans too. We're looking at alpine coasters, zip lines. We are still heavy on those.
Ooh.
Now that we've weathered COVID, we can actually start to get back to planning. So
you should do a zip line once you come out of the cavern, zip line down to the water where you can get on the cruise line instead of bypass the bus.
1.3 miles, we actually had a company come out there and check it. There's some instances.
Too steep.
No. Actually, they could do it.
Oh, gosh.
We'd have to sell the pens up at the entry point. But other than that, FAA is involved because Shasta Lake is actually a seaport. So you have to have flight patterns in there, and running a wire across a flight pattern is not good.
Well, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a great show.
Definitely.
James Mazzotta, Jim Wadley, Reading Airport, Mr. Matt Doyle, everything.
Yes, thank you so much for
the invite.
Nigel
C. CAD.
CAD, yeah.
CAD.
CAD.
So thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah,
this went by quick.
It always does.
Yep. All right, guys.
Can't wait to check it out.
California, we will talk to you next weekend.
All right.